Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casanelli and I are back to talk about Quibi. Maybe it'll show up on TVs eventually. Plus, some new news on those IKEA smart blinds we keep talking about. Google Fit gets an update that makes a little bit more like Apple Watch. And some help for seeing a doctor while you're sheltering in place. All that, plus a thermometer for your ear and a watch app for your Apple Watch. Stick around. You don't want to miss it. Smart Tech Today is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by Casper. Casper is a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get your best rest one night at a time. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using the promo code STT at checkout. Welcome to Smart Tech Today, where we explain the exciting, the dynamic, and the sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I am Matthew Casanelli.
Heck yeah, he is. And we are here to talk to you about stuff and things.
Stuff and things, as usual.
per usual. So this is an interesting thing. We had talked about Quibi, and I had mentioned that I've been watching it. From that point, I had to go on to different podcasts and defend my honor about watching and enjoying Quibi, mostly for Chrissy Teigen, who I have to brag, just followed me on Twitter last night, and I'm very thrilled about it, but trying to play it cool. Thank you. I'm trying to play it cool. I haven't said anything about it yet. Breathe in, breathe out. but having done that, you know, it was something that I've been watching, and I think it's hilarious. And, you know, I don't want to be blue, but it is kind of the perfect restroom break show. so I enjoy what Quibi has to offer, but some people don't. And one of the reasons why is because they can't watch it on their big televisions or anywhere else besides their phones. But is that going to change?
Supposedly. CEO Meg Whitman was saying, I saw this on Twitter, but we have a Vanity Fair article about it. She was like, don't worry, we're working on it we'll let you do it soon, because I do think, I mean, I, like I said last week, I was at their pitch and the whole thing is very much supposed to be a phone experience. So they were built for essentially what was a different world. But now they're bringing it slowly. And it's just like, it is kind of fundamentally against their whole deal. So it makes sense that they're switching gears now, though, now that things have changed.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think it makes sense for sure that they would sort of figure this out, find a different way of doing things for folks that complained about the fact that they couldn't watch it on their televisions. So I think every product has a period of time where it is created in a bubble, and you try to make that bubble as big as possible, but it's still a bubble. And then you ship the product, and then the bubble bursts.
I mean, we'll see how well it goes in the long run. Especially, I mean, like she was still saying that people are spending like 60 to 70 minutes on their phone throughout the day. But again, people are at home with their TV, so it is a little bit different now. Oh, yeah. Also, we had always planned to cast your TV, so we're going to see if we can accelerate that.
Well, that's good to know, but I don't know why that wasn't a default built-in thing, given what the tool is. I don't know. It's a streaming video service. How's that not?
Exactly. I'm less sour on it than I was, so I'll be watching some soon here.
Okay. We'll see. Maybe, yeah, for folks who want to watch it on their big TV or whatever, it might be a good idea to just hold out until they do offer the streaming to the platform, to a television or what have you. And then that way they can, you can watch it then, get the full 3 months if they're still offering it. In other news, something that I know had you very excited, over on iMore, they put together an article talking about the smart home gadgets that support Siri shortcuts. So some of these may not be HomeKit enabled, but all of them do support Siri shortcuts in some way. So yeah. Anything on this list that stuck out to you, or everything stick out to you?
I mean, most of it we have talked about in some level or another as they've come out. Like the Neato vacuum was a couple weeks ago. Smarter Coffee, I'm not sure if that's still UK only or not. I use the SwitchBot pretty much every day. I say the exact phrase that they have in the article, "Hey, lady, press the button," and it physically moves a little trigger down and then pushes the on button for my espresso machine. So that's awesome. They also have the Room Me sensor. You have one of those, right, Micah? Have you had a chance to play around with the shortcuts yet?
No, I haven't used the shortcuts yet, but for folks who don't know, the Room Me sensor is this device that's just a personal location sensor. So it uses Bluetooth to let you know when people have gone into and out of rooms. It's one of the products that offer this to say, hey, who's at home right now or who's not. So, it's cool to have. I find it interesting and also a little concerning, though. I don't want folks to add Siri shortcuts as a way to not go the extra mile. And that's what I'm worried is going to happen.
It seems like it's almost like an in-between before they get HomeKit certification kind of thing. Or like maybe the current version isn't HomeKit compatible, but like a future one will be. So I feel you though. I mean, it is mostly just like a unique thing that if you have it, you can already get away with it versus like maybe needing to wait. But I don't know if I'd necessarily buy a lot of this stuff just for that support. I mean, the SwitchBot one honestly is probably the best option, or like I personally chose to buy that because I was like, there's nothing else. And I don't think HomeKit's going to support this type of thing, but I'm probably not going to drop $200 on the smarter fridge cam.
No way. A camera that goes into your stinking fridge. I thought, oh, that's kind of, I've seen some fridges that offer that. That's kind of cool. And then I saw the price and I thought, okay, never mind. I take it back. $200 for that? No, thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
Just to be able to look inside your fridge. I mean, if somebody wants to throw it my way, I'll do it, but I'll use it.
Somebody want to send me that bed? $1,826 for that bed.
They've been trying to send it to me. So if you actually want one, Micah, I can probably get you one.
I forgot you told me that. You got some an invite to try that stinking thing out. That's funny. Again, let's have this certainly be a starter, but not a complete replacement for adding HomeKit support.
I agree. And our next story in here is that IKEA's HomeKit smart blinds are actually finally available. And that's like, that alone is way
haven't
better.
We said that?
Yeah.
It's been, we said that multiple times?
It's been coming out over and over. I mean, they had a bunch of production delays, but I think it's now you can actually get them online and things like that too. So you can ship them to your house. I was so close to getting this, but now is probably not the best time to experiment with. First of all, I mean, the thing that I'm most worried about with smart blinds is the noise, because I've had a couple smart home things that make like little buzzing noises, or just like if you want your smart blinds to raise with the sun, aren't you just going to hear zzzz, like not like the relaxing sun?
True.
Like all those commercials don't have like the raw audio.
You want that instead of, right, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, what the heck? But yeah, those are some nice little HomeKit style purchases, I guess. If maybe the Siri shortcut stuff is an HomeKit, but yeah. Lots of Siri at least.
I might have to look into this now, these blinds, now that they are actually available online for purchase, because, going to an IKEA sounds like a not very shelter-in-place type attitude to have. Okay, so tell me about this Hodinkee article, because is it a love letter to the Apple Watch face? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, pretty much. This is a Hodinkee. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but it's a website for like fancy watch enthusiasts, I'd say. And then when the Apple Watch first came out, I think this actually launched when the Apple Watch came out. Maybe it was just fortuitous timing too, because they do normally traditional watches, but they had a bunch of like interviews with Johnny Ive and stuff about like why it's inspired by the traditional watch industry. But this one's all about the solar face, which if you don't know, has kind of like a full 24-hour view of the day with the sunlight and then nightfall and things like civil twilight and nautical twilight and all these different details. So the article basically explains all to you what those each mean and things like that in depth. So it's a nice story. I noticed I've worn this throughout the winter, and basically like it was very interesting on a daily basis to kind of just get a sense of how long the days were by like visually seeing the chunks out of the pie that it shows. And like definitely now I can see like pretty much for the last 6 months it's been convex or what am I thinking of?
Concave.
I'm thinking of like acute and obtuse.
Oh, like, obtuse.
Yeah, it like wasn't a full day, basically like wasn't even full of half slice, and then now it's like long, the days are much longer and things like that.
I see. So it went from acute to obtuse.
Yeah, but I specifically was using this side. Yeah. Anyway, which side you're looking at?
It's all in your perspective, man.
Yeah. Is the angle half full or half empty, bro?
But for me as a video producer, I was also using this to be like, when can I shoot and have it be light out and also not have the light like coming in sideways through the windows and stuff like that, which does just change the character of the light.
That's smart. I like that.
Yeah. It was useful just because it's, like in many ways, especially, I mean, maybe this is more relatable now that everybody's at home, but it's like what exact hour of day it is doesn't really matter. You just want to know kind of how far you are throughout the entire day. And so I do like, it's kind of an interesting 24-hour face. Plus it's got the normal clock in the middle. It's pretty neat. And it's got room for lots of complications around the edge, which are the little widgets, if people don't know that term, but...
That's all fun. Right. I'm That's adding nice. A solar dial to my face. You got me. You tricked me. No, you didn't trick me. Yeah. Okay. I'm checking it out. We'll see. Oh, it's so pretty. Okay. I have not figured out a way to make my Apple Watch appear on screen like my other devices, or else I would do that. Same. Let's see. There's a new smart plug that's available now. And this is the one we were talking about before. It's a small plug that you can put multiple of them into one outlet on your wall, basically, because it's small to do so.
Yeah, I think they must have just sent around a round of reviews because there's a couple articles talking about it. I think what's funny about many of these is you're like, yes, it's another plug. Like once it's the like minimal viable product, that's the rest of what it is. Like it's just a plug that works. And once it's set up with HomeKit and Amazon Echo and Google Assistant and everything, at a certain point it's no different than the rest of them. But these are nice. Like I still like them now that I think in the past they didn't usually fit onto one outlet, so now that's kind of like the main feature. But the Hue ones, don't they have one of these now? I just realized I don't think Hue I actually plug? Have one of yeah. those, because I've gotten so many. I have them from Eve and I have the Wemo ones, but it's still nice. I was curious. I mentioned this before about a different product, but I was like, I wonder if these being cheaper are the kind that might buzz slightly, like little electronic noise. So I would hope not. I shouldn't say that about a product I haven't tried or anything, but I am I want to do some testing in general of more budget friendly stuff like that.
Yes. There are
that's a
some
small thing that like I had a plug over here and I was like sitting there trying to relax and I was like, wait a second, this is just like constant noise and it pretty much like spoiled the entire environment of my office. So I was like, no thanks. I will put that somewhere where it's off in the corner.
Makes sense. We've got some other updates and changes here, starting with updates for Google Fit. So Google Fit is the platform, the sort of health platform, to make sure that you're staying fit, that you can track your yoga, your workouts, your walks, your runs, etc. And they've made some changes that will show you those options at a glance, so you can kind of keep track of those measurements at a glance there, including the state of your heart, your step tracking, and calories and things like that. So whether you're looking at it on the watch or you're looking at it on the app, it's available there. And just a simple swipe can give you more information about these different sections. And of course, tracking your goals, which we on Apple Watch are very familiar with, the daily tracking of our steps. It's activity. Yeah. Activity in general, standing up once in a 12-hour period, once an hour.
After 50 minutes, it alerts you.
But the thing is, it doesn't have to be that you do it in 12 consecutive hours. You'd need to do it 12 times in the course of a day, once per hour. But it doesn't have to be that in this hour I stand up and then the next hour I have to stand up. You can skip an hour and then stay. It's 12 times in a day. There we go. And then the last one is exercise. So 30 minutes of exercise, and those are all adjustable, but we're used to sort of trying to fill in our rings. And I'm glad that this light gamification and easy view of the state of your activity are available, there.
Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's not like looking at the article or anything like that, they literally have rings like the Apple Watch does now, but it's just heart and steps. So they're still focused on like not just because that's one of the things I like about the calories on the watch versus steps is that to me, it's more representative of being active, not just like walking a lot. Because if you walk but don't get your heart rate up too much, it's still not as helpful. Or like the people who like do an intense workout and then sit for the rest of the day, like you said, standing up more regularly is good. But yeah, I think this is a good sign of just like Wear OS is still in development, basically. Like, I don't really hear about it a whole lot, but it is like good to see just the activity stuff being prioritized.
For sure. Now, this article from CNET, the Fitbit Charge 4 won me over. This is interesting to me because I recently did an episode of Clockwise where I talked about the Fitbit Charge 4 and sort of asked the people on the show, do you think that the Fitbit Charge 4 can compete with the Apple Watch? So to see this video, which thank God includes a transcript, because... that's where I prefer to quickly skim about something. this person is saying, look, yes, the Fitbit Charge 4 actually does give me what I want and does provide for a good experience. So this is kind of neat. I think competition is good, and Apple has done a very good job innovating, I feel, with the Apple Watch and making a device that truly does provide for all sorts of health tracking and making me feel safe, but to have competition is always a good thing because it continues to drive innovation.
Yeah, I agree. And it's got GPS too and things like that, so you can get heat maps and a bunch of different stats now that it's just like a continuation of the non-Apple and non-Google smartwatch world, which is always, like you said, good competition. I wish I had seen something. I'd tried more of these out at CES because I saw a bunch of watches. But at the time, I wasn't just super interested because it's at a certain point, like I feel like they hit a certain level of promise that they are like fulfilling the promise that they have. And then I'm sort of waiting for the next level of stuff. But maybe it's all just a solar face on there. No.
Okay, so up next, this is another great thing in my opinion. Google has released an update that helps people get virtual care. So of course, people are looking for ways to get in touch with local healthcare providers, and so Google is kind of putting out information not just for individuals who are looking for care, but also to healthcare providers to update their systems to make sure that people know how they can get in touch with those healthcare providers and find virtual care anywhere. So it says, beginning as a U.S. pilot in the U.S., we're going to begin showing widely available virtual care platforms directly on search so people can more easily access virtual visits. For example, when people search for immediate care, we'll be able to present available virtual care options and related information, such as the cost for a visit with and without insurance, and an easy way for people to connect with those platforms. This is fantastic because I don't know about you, but that's how I search the web or interact with the web. Most of my stuff comes from searches. It's not going to a specific website or something like that. It's typing in a search at the top. And I know that I see a lot of people doing that. So to have access right there and not have to go digging for it, I think is great.
Yeah, I agree. Especially virtual care stuff is amazing. Like there are so many times where you just need to like talk to someone and get some information and you don't need to actually go there. So this kind of stuff becoming more and more common is going to be great, especially kind of like a new reality type thing for the new normal, I guess. But yeah, a company that I worked at, we had a very sample test of this like 5 years ago. And I mean, especially for businesses, it makes a ton of sense because you don't have employees like leaving during the workday, but especially now people do. It's going to be more and more important.
Yeah, I want to do a quick shout out. Ant Pruitt, one of our hosts here at TWIT, has a new series called Hands on Wellness. And the first episode was published and tells you how to see a doctor during shelter in place. So it goes into detail about some of the virtual visit platforms that are out there and helps you figure out how to get in touch there. So definitely check that out. That's Hands on Wellness episode 1, which is twit.tv/HOW. What's up next?
We've got the Google Assistant now lets you do audiobook samples, which I thought was pretty neat. So you can basically like sample a book out loud when you hear about it, which this is like, I feel like sometimes little features like this are like perfect because I don't necessarily, every time I must have saved hundreds of samples of stories on like Kindle or something and then don't go back to read them and just being like, give me a taste of what this book is like out loud right now is awesome. Did you just say, hey, machine, read, and then the book title, and it'll like give you a quick sample. Especially, oh yeah, I was going to say on the smart screen too. I didn't even think about that. You can just buy the book right away. So yeah, another sweet, short and sweet feature for Google Assistant, but it's like just the modern convenience of a smart speaker made actually practical for the type of audiobook feature thing that you're going to use it with. So it's pretty solid.
Cool. Another great story. Android, after adding to Android's platform the ability to pull up captions no matter where you are, whatever you're watching, you can get captions for it. Android now gets a built-in Braille keyboard. So Android has been working on their accessibility features over the past few years. This is, you know, something that Apple has, and it's not just as a user of Apple, but hearing folks who use these tools regularly talk about them. Apple has done a very good job of making sure that accessibility is at the front of mind. And to seeing Google do many of these things and in some ways stepping a step ahead, especially with that caption thing, which I think is fantastic, that's great. So one of those things is a Braille keyboard that's built in. It's going to be available as an option on phones running version 5 and higher. So Android version 5 and higher. It's a built-in Braille keyboard for the phone.
Yeah, I want to see how this works from somebody who like actually uses them, because you hold the phone in landscape mode with the screen facing away from you, and then you type like you're feeling the front of the phone kind of thing. So it sounds a little trippy, but it's, if you're, do you say speak Braille? I don't know. Read Braille, I guess. That's that. There we go. That makes more sense. I was like, you don't speak that. You can understand it, I guess, is what I was going for. Then probably makes more sense.
Wow. It's using your name. Did you notice that in the, it says, hey, no, Matt, how are you? And the TechCrunch article links to Apple's Braille keyboard support to tell you how to get to it. So you can use that tool as well. So yeah, both platforms now have Braille keyboards, which is fantastic.
Always good.
And then last but not least, Fisher-Price, Ring, has introduced a new smart alarm system. And the joke that I was making there is that it looks a little, they call it a smaller, sleeker system, but it looks a little toyish. It looks a little bit silly. It's the second generation of the home security system that it has. There's a new keypad, and then motion and contact sensors that are much slimmer. So they kind of blend in a little bit better, which is good. Because, you know, you're not wanting those things to stick out, A, for your decor, but B, so that if your home is invaded, then it's not so easy to sort of counteract these systems. So it's a $10 a month, $100 a year plan to make use of the Ring's emergency contact systems. But it also does some other home monitoring stuff. This is an interesting platform, and it's one that I know a lot of people do like. There are 5, 10, and 14-piece kits, and you can get more accessories on Amazon's website. And, of course, if you order it on Amazon's website, then you can also get a free dot with your purchase,
that's what I was gonna
of
say.
Course. And it's supposed to ship on April 29th.
Yeah, I am interested. I almost need to do like a reassessment of Ring because I am just curious how much they've changed and where they're going. Because in case you can't tell by our vibe, you and I aren't super huge fans of them. So it is interesting because they're not going away anytime soon. But yeah, this does look like a Stream Deck for security, in my opinion. But that's just because I'm looking at my Stream Deck and I've been playing around with it lately.
So it starts at $199.99. The 14-piece kit is $329.99, which has, let's see, two keypads, a bunch of contact sensors, two motion sensors, the dot, of course, and the actual device itself. So, yeah, interesting. Something that might be worth looking into. Again, it doesn't support HomeKit, so not quite for me. But if you're looking for an all-in-one purpose-built system, this might be up your alley for sure. All righty, folks. We're going to take a quick break because, you know, we're living in trying times at the moment, and it can be hard. I know I've had some trouble sleeping as of late. And Matthew, you mentioned you had to go make yourself some coffee because you were a little tired. And I just saw an article the other day where apparently many people have said that they've been having more vivid and kind of scary, stressful dreams as of late, enough so that there was a trend, enough so that there was an article written saying, no, it's not just you. Many people are having bad dreams right now, and that's because it's a trauma response, the stuff that we're all dealing with. So, you know, what do you need when you are having trouble sleeping and you are stressed out and yet need to find some rest? How about Casper, who are bringing you this episode of Smart Tech Today? It's an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost, and its products are cleverly designed to mimic human curves, providing supportive comfort for all kinds of bodies. You spend one third of your life sleeping, maybe more, maybe less right now, so you should be comfortable. The original Casper mattress, that's the one I have. It combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce. Its breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And get this, over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google means Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress and has certainly been my favorite mattress for some time. But along with the original, there are three other options: the Wave, the Essential, and the Hybrid. Now, the Wave is a patent-pending premium support system that mirrors the natural shape of your body. The Essential offers a more streamlined design, and it's a, you know, at a price that's not going to keep you up at night. And then, of course, there's the Hybrid, which is the one Leo's laying on there. It combines the pressure relief of the award-winning foam, but it has durable yet gentle springs. That's right. Springs are back, folks, back in a big way. And Casper also offers a wide array of other products like pillows and sheets, which I love and adore and use to ensure an overall better sleep experience. I love my Casper mattress, my Casper box springs, my Casper bed frame, my Casper sheets, my Casper this, my Casper that. I love it all because it genuinely has provided me with a better night's sleep. I was just watching This Week in Tech yesterday, and Owen was on there, O-Docta, as we call him, talking about his Casper pillows and just going on about how amazing they are. I've got my Casper pillows too, and I snuggle up to them. I love them so much. They are fantastic. So yes, there's so much good that Casper provides, and you should definitely check it out. Now, sleeping on a mattress, you may be going, oh, well, I don't know. What if I don't like it? Well, you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. That means you get 100 nights to give it a go. If you don't like it, you send it back. And Casper also offers free shipping and painless returns to the U.S. and Canada. Get a Casper mattress today. Save $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/STT and using the code STT at checkout. Please, if you are listening to this show and you were into a mattress, head to casper.com/STT and use the code STT at checkout. That's $100 off select mattresses by going to casper.com/STT and using the code STT at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks so much to Casper for sponsoring this week's episode of Smart Tech Today. We do appreciate you and all that you provide. All righty. I tried to tell him, and he finally listened. LifeX offers a fantastic light strip that produces multiple colors and multiple zones of colors. And you have checked it out, and you are going to tell us about your project, what you've been working with the LifeX stuff.
Yeah, I basically redid my whole desk lighting setup because I was getting frustrated. Just like a couple of times I was noticing was a little dark the way I was working. And in general, like, I don't know if anybody's watched the video, I have like old grandma wallpaper throughout the room. So it's just like not, I should probably do it while I'm stuck at home, like tear it all off. It's like such old wallpaper that I don't even, everything in this house is always like scary to start, but I want to get white walls and maybe an accent color or something. But, I just like wanted to enjoy my office space more because I found myself like working throughout the house a little too much where I needed to actually be productive and not just distract myself or my girlfriend. And I had made the mistake when I first set up my Hue light strip of cutting it too short. So it's like 6 inches on either end are just like not fully covered by the light on my monitor stand that's on my desk. And I did a whole thing where I even tried to like move my monitor out or this computer out of this room and use a laptop for a while. And that failed miserably, unfortunately. But in the process, I actually set up the LifeX light strip that I'm pretty sure I bought on this podcast like 10 episodes ago and then just put it in my closet because I was like, I don't know where to put this. But I would have done it way, way sooner if I had actually personally experienced how much better and just brighter this one is. And the Hue light strips are great for, I think, just like having a normal light strip. It's like Hue in general is like, I don't want to say average, but it's like a very solid choice where like you're not going to go wrong with it. But if you do need a lot of light, the LifeX light strip is, I think it's like 600 lumens brighter than the Hue one, which is it's only 800. And then the LifeX one is like 1400. The one problem is that if my girlfriend comes like into my office from outside, you can see the actual light strip itself. And it is so bright that we were both like, oh my God, like I'm seeing spots now because it was at like full white when I was testing it. But basically I've been messing around with the scenes. Partially I like wrapped it around the corner of my desk, so it lights kind of against the wall in the corner too, which is nice. But I was super impressed, not only just because of like the color quality and being able to do the different parts of the light in the scene, or like on the strip, you can have different zones, but like the color cycle features in the app, I had never played with or really seen.
So fun.
Yeah. It's very cool. I do have a mechanical clicky keyboard that has RGB lights and stuff like that. I don't really use it that much. And I don't think I'd totally been sold on just the like man cave battle station aesthetic kind of thing. And then I was sitting in my room and like the lights were purple and blue and glowing across the wall. And I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. Because I was just like the way what I said at the beginning is I don't love the feeling of the space, and it totally transformed it into like something where I was willing to like hang out in there and a little bit more, especially at night. I do have to close my windows now because if I accidentally leave it on, it lights up all of my neighbor's house, which is right next to us. So like they're so bright that we could see it from like downstairs. It was like lighting up the wall and bouncing back in. Their app is a little confusing. Like they're called themes, or I think effects. They have like a variety, but color cycle is the main effect. Yeah, exactly. And I only have one product in, and it's like the device in the room in a zone. So it's got like three layers just for the single product. So it feels like a little, they kind of want you to buy all of their stuff, which I might be doing that in the future because, I mean, I mentioned it on this show too in the past that on video, the Hue lights literally flicker because of like the, I'm not sure if it's like the frame rate isn't the right term, but just like the way the way the lights work versus the way the video frame rates work, it just picks it up at the wrong frequency. And then like the LifeX ones literally have like color balance temperatures that you can set with them also. So now I have, like, that was always a problem too, is that my monitor light strip would be like yellow in the shot when I want it to be white. So now I can have like my light strip turn to just the right color, like when I'm doing my videos. And then when I want to chill out and relax later, I can have it be like cycling waves or like all the different effects, like blue and purple or like green and I don't know, they do have a bunch of good mixes that you can pick from. Plus they have shortcut support, which is great. And then the app that I like, Shortcutify, has additional ways to use it. But I think right now you have to open the shortcut opens into the app to do the color cycle thing, which means you can't really do it from Siri. So I'm hoping they change that soon. But yeah, that's my adventures in LifeX. It's basically like if you need good quality like light for visuals or you just want super bright lights, I definitely recommend checking them out.
Cool.
Which ones do you have actually?
I've got the LifeX light strip and a few LifeX bulbs. But yeah, the light strip, I haven't set it up in this home yet. Yes, I've lived here since last July, but I still have not set it up. And I used to use it all the time. It would be behind me and doing actually the colors of this podcast, which is kind of funny. Yeah. That it would go behind me in a sort of wave pattern. It's really nice.
Yeah, I got to get that set up. I might have to get another light strip too. They're so good.
They're
they
really,
totally sold me. Like I was good. Like figured I was kind of at like a standstill with the light stuff, and now I'm like, oh, I got a whole other world to play in
again. Yeah. All right, I'll tell you a little bit about my pick of the week. You'll tell us about yours, and we'll say goodbye to everybody. Sure. So my pick of the week is something that was a pick that Leo actually mentioned before. It is the Kinsa Smart Thermometer. It comes in both a stick format that's available for $35.99 and an ear format that's available for $69.99. Nice. It is a thermometer that is Bluetooth connected. The ear thermometer is instant read, and the stick thermometer, I think, is after like 8 seconds or something like that. But what's nice about it is that it is, like I said, Bluetooth connected, so it can work with the Kinsa app, although you don't need to have it work with the Kinsa app. And you can set up multiple profiles. So if you've got a household with people in it, then each person can have their temperature tracked over the course of the day whenever they, you know, use it. So my partner and I are sheltering in place together. So I do our temperatures at the start of the day and then at the end of the day. For some reason, I run inhumanly cold because I'm cold and dead and am a vampire, probably. And so sometimes I do run into an error with the thermometer because that's too low. And so I thought there was something wrong with the thermometer, but using it on him, it works just fine. So I just genuinely run very cold. So I'm going to do one here just to show how it works. Let me change my mode here. And we'll see how long this lasts. there's Kinsa. Okay. And then I'll choose me. Then I'm going to pull my headphone off like this. I've got my Kinsa thermometer here. Wait, let me bring it in. There we go. I just hit the button on the side to turn it on. It pairs with the app. And now you can see that popped up. I've got myself selected. I stick it in my ear. It's infrared. And I stick it in and then hit the big button. You see that I'm doing this with my ear. That's because I'm one of the weirdos that has the cold ear. So by pulling up my ear a little bit, I can get farther in and then hit the button. And 97.5, that's actually one of my warmer temperatures,
you're alive.
Believe it or not. Yes, today I am alive. And then I can just tap save, and it saves my temperature. So you can see here the full timeline of mine. I've been 96, 94, 94, 95, 96, 97. Yeah. See, 97.5 is my highest, so maybe that is a fever for me.
new high score.
Yeah.
Okay, that's terrible. Not with a fever.
Yeah, exactly. So then, do you have any other symptoms? I say no, I have no symptoms at all, and tap next. And then it can give you some guidance. So if you do start to have symptoms or you are having a high fever, it'll say, hey, you should probably definitely go see the doctor or head to the emergency room. You see the full timeline of your temperature, and then Kinsa does this great thing. And by the way, I have some alcohol pads that I keep, and I clean off the tip. It doesn't come with like ear tips or anything like that. So you just clean it off. And then it comes with this cap that you put on top of it. Nice. Like so. And then there's also a health map. And so Kinsa is tracking, you give it permission to track your temperature and surrounding temperatures. And by doing so, it creates a map that shows you the state of the health of the folks in your immediate area. It is really nice for that, but then also it syncs. That was the last thing I was going to say, is that it syncs with the health app for iOS. So my body temperature is available each day synced into the health app. You choose in the settings whose profile gets synced. And so on my device, obviously it's me. And when you purchase a quick care thermometer or a smart or an ear thermometer on Kinsa's website, they donate a quick care thermometer to a family in need. So buy one, donate one commitment is a little bit like the Tom's shoes and things like that. I really think that's fantastic. So I ordered one, I think it was 3 weeks ago, and it arrived, I think it shipped out about a week or two later and then got to me after that. So, they may be taking even longer now because of everything. But yeah, certainly check it out. It's a really well designed. In fact, it looks like the ear thermometer is now sold out. Last night, it did not show sold out. It showed pre-order. Is the smart stick sold out as well, or does it say pre-order? I can't see from my screen.
It says pre-order.
Yeah, pre-order. Cool. Yeah, so it looks like the smart stick is still available. They're sold out of the ear ones right now. But either one, you know, can work. And of course, that's for underarm, oral, or rectal use. So if you've got kids, things like that, you can also use the little smart stick for that. So yeah, check that out. Of course, like I said, you're donating one to someone in need, which is fantastic and made me feel happy. That's Kinsa. What about you, Matthew Casanelli? What have you got for us?
I want to highlight an article from Mac Stories about WatchSmith, which is a new Apple Watch app that lets you do like a crazy deep complication, custom complication for your Apple Watch, where basically throughout the day you can have different customizations. So like depending on the time of day, it'll show something different. And it's basically like a full playground for people who like Apple Watches and want to get just the right information on the same watch face throughout the day. Because right now, a lot of people kind of design different watch faces for different times a day kind of thing. But then you're constantly having to switch. You can do like a whole swipe from side to side on the watch to switch faces, but it is just kind of nice to have one that like updates for you throughout the day. So if you're deep into Apple Watch, I definitely recommend this. And just David Smith is an amazing developer. Like he goes super. He always has like after Apple's developer updates each year, he has like some new app or one of his current apps takes great advantage of it. And he's like probably the most prolific Apple Watch developer that exists just right now. So it's a $199 a month or $20 a year. Pretty solid update, especially for if you are trying to use this like this. Like I love the Apple Watch, but I do kind of get bored with it and haven't figured out like the perfect workflow for my system or something like that. So this is probably going to be part of that tool set now, but it does take a bit of setup. But yeah, pretty solid update. WatchSmith.
Sweet. Yeah, I have to check that out for sure. Alrighty, well, we have reached the end of another episode of Smart Tech Today. Of course, if you have questions, we would love to answer those questions. We'd love to answer your feedback, all that kind of stuff. You can email us, STT, that stands for Smart Tech Today, at twit.tv. We record the show live every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is 4 p.m. Pacific, 2300 UTC, when people are apparently watching that new episode of Tiger King. You can also head to twit.tv/live, and no matter what's on, that will give you multiple ways to stream the Twit live stream. But the best way that you can check out the show and always make sure you get the episode when it's available and help us out in the process is by subscribing. When you subscribe to the show in audio or video formats on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, etc., you are saying, yes, download that episode whenever it's available. And that lets us know that you're out there, you're watching, you're tuning in, and we do appreciate it. I know that you folks have been out there downloading and subscribing to our shows because the numbers reflect that, and we genuinely do appreciate that and thank you for that. So, hey, share the show with one of your friends and get other people tuning in to listen to Matthew and I talk about stuff and things in the smart space. Matthew, if people want to follow you online, where do they go to do so?
This week I want to send people to my own Twitch because I'm doing some fun testing live streams with, this time I did Animal Crossing with my friend Alex Cox.
Nice.
I don't think it's not all going to be video games, but that is like an easy way to just like have fun. And it's like somewhat relaxing, but then I'm also learning slowly how to do like take what I learned from doing those streams and apply it back to my Siri shortcuts stuff. So lots of fun there. What about
very
you?
Cool. I am at Micah Sargent on pretty much all of the social things. I am also, you can find the links to all the different things I do at chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee. Unfortunately, I am not on Animal Crossing because I made the, at what I thought at the time was a responsible choice not to purchase a Switch when I literally had one in my cart and could have gone and purchased it. And I said, no, Micah, no. This is a struggling time. You might want to have that money for later. So I took it out of the cart and I told Target, no, I'll not get it. And now I don't have it, and I wish I did, and I could be playing Animal Crossing, but alas, I do not. But yeah, I've got other stuff there instead. So check it out.
Maybe.
yeah, productivity is important. Alrighty, folks, it's time to say goodbye and say goodnight to your smart assistants.
See y'all next week.